77. Warren, I believe you were born over in Millville.
Right.
And could you tell us where and a little bit about your own family, your parents?
Should I start with my grandparents? I'd like to do
that. Start wherever you like.
Okay. Well, my grandparents on my father's side came directly from England on a sailing boat. And there were at least 7 weeks coming across because they were becalmed off in the ocean with no wind and couldn't move. And they landed in Virginia instead of New York City, which they planned to do.
Really?
And my...
How many people were on the boat?
Oh, I have no idea.
Oh, okay.
He died when I was 10.
Yeah.
And my grandfather on my mother's side told me that he came from Vermont into New York with an ox team. Now, how he got into Vermont, I haven't the faintest idea. Whether he must have been connected to the Pilgrims in some way to be in that location.
What was his name?
Gregory. George Gregory.
George Gregory.
Mm-hmm. So when I knew him, he lived south and east of Millville. Grandfather on my father's side never did own property or anything. He just worked for someone else at that time. And Grandfather Amos died when I was 10 years old, and Grandfather Gregory died when I was 9 years old. Mm-hmm. And I was born and brought up on a farm until...
Now, what kind of a farm?
Well, it's Orleans County Farm. It was, every farmer had 2 or 3 cows and chickens and so forth, and they traded those butter and eggs for groceries and so forth. Mm-hmm. Also, the grocery peddler came around in later years with a wagon.
Mm-hmm. Horse and wagon?
Yes.
Yeah.
And that way you gave them the butter and the eggs and traded for groceries. Okay. And later years they gave that up and then they just went out and took orders and then delivered instead of taking the wagon out on the road. And the eggs and so forth, I guess they didn't collect at that time. So I lived on the farm in my younger life, and from 14 years of age I worked on a farm until 1918.
Now what kind of work did you do?
Well, just general farm work. Mm-hmm. In other words, when my grandfather Gregory died at 9 years old, we had 4 horses, 3 cows, sheep, mm-hmm. and I did the chores that night because mm-hmm. they were over to their place. I mm-hmm. did the milking, took care of all those things.
Nice. Did you take grain down to the mill?
Yes, yeah. At Shelby Center was a mill, mm-hmm. also in Medina. But usually we went to Shelby Center.
Why?
Well, I don't know, a little nearer, I guess, mm-hmm. than it was coming to Medina. Maybe you got waited on sooner, I don't know. Mm-hmm. But anyway, that was an ordeal. The day before, you put up what we called a grist. That was the wheat and oats and so forth. And you would take that over for feed for the animals. Then you would trade wheat, generally wheat, for flour. In other words, they wouldn't grind your own flour, but they would give you flour in place of the wheat that you took over there. And let's see, after the fall of 1918, I went to Niagara Falls and worked that winter, 1918 and 19. And came back to Medina and worked.
Were you going to school during this time?
2 years high school.
Where was your school?
I came to Medina High School here. The 13 and 14, first and second year high.
An elementary school right there in Millville?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It wasn't in that old academy, was it?
Yes, it sure was. But they didn't use the upstairs at that time. I never was in the upstairs of that place. I don't know why. But they didn't use it at a school, and the doors were locked going up there. And I guess we weren't quite so mischievous. We didn't go and lock it and go up as they do it today, probably. So, yeah, that's where I finished my elementary school. Then I came to Medina 2 years, first and second year high school.
How did you come?
Well, various ways. I could stay with my grandmother, but she didn't let me go outside or anything. She was afraid I was going to do something wrong.
Really?
I wasn't quite used to that. I was used
yeah.
to doing things. Yeah. So I drove a horse or I rode a bicycle. And at one time they used to have a, well, we called it a carryall, a three-seated wagon with a team of horses would come out to Millville and pick up maybe 8 or 10 people.
You mean just for school children or
just
for anybody?
Just for school children,
right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, just for school
was it
children.
Covered?
Oh, yeah, covered in the sleigh in the wintertime and, of course,
oh.
Wheels in the summertime. Once in a while I'd ride that, but usually I was ride my bicycle or drive a horse. Mm-hmm.
If you drove a horse, where would you leave it?
They had what they called drive barns here, and about 3 of them in Medina.
Drive barns?
And drive barns, they called them.
D-R-Y?
D-R-I-V-E.
Oh, drive.
Drive.
Drive, D-R-I-V-E.
Yeah. They had horses to rent, and you would stable your horses there. In other words, I'd come in the morning and leave the horse there all day, and they would feed it at noon and so forth, and I'd drive it home at night.
Yeah. Well, the school must have been the old academy.
Yeah.
That you went to. Mm-hmm. Was there, what was the nearest drive barn where you could leave here?
Right on North Main Street, just north of Pearl Street. All the blacksmith shops and drive barns and all in there.
You mean where,
The dry cleaner is. And,
oh, in there.
Yeah, dry cleaner mm-hmm. is and so forth. All on that side. Nothing on this side.
Oh, on the canal side.
And yet, right.
Oh. Hmm.
And as I say, go ahead.
Yeah. What about your own father and mother? A little bit about them.
Yeah, father started farming on work for a farmer up until 1905. And in 1905, he went farming for himself. In this one place, we lived only 1 year, which was on the town line road. South and east of Millville. Then the next year we went down on Lee Street to the Ferris Farm, it was known then, which is a stone double house, and we lived on one side and the Ferris family on the other. And we were there from 1906 to 1909.
When were you born, by the way?
It's hard to keep track of.
Yeah.
It was when my mother was born.
Yeah. So, then when the grandfather died, well, we went up on my grandmother's place, 1909 to 1913, when he quit farming and moved to Millville. Then he worked in Medina here. He worked at S.A. Cook & Company for $8.85 a week. In other words, 15 cents an hour, and you quit at 5 o'clock Saturday. Yeah. So they deducted 15 cents. Instead of $9, you got $8.85 for a week.
But did he make furniture then?
Well, he worked in the woodworking shop, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean,
they didn't have electric tools and equipment, did they?
Yes.
Did they?
Yes. Oh,
did they?
Yes.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. Everything was, instead of today, every machine has a separate motor on it. Mm-hmm. In those days, they had what they call line shafts. A shaft with pulleys on, and you'd have a row of machines and a separate belt to each one of those. Now today they all have separate motors on them. That was called a millwright's job to install those line shafts and set up the machinery and so forth, which was quite a trade.
Millwright.
Mm-hmm. Then I came back to Medina in the spring of 1919. And worked a couple of weeks at S.A. Cook & Company. Came down with the flu, and when I recovered, they didn't need me anymore. So that was my extent of S.A. Cook & Company. Then I went to the Cannon factory and worked through transplanting of tomatoes and through the pea season.
Now, what canning factory was that?
I was just trying to think.
It wasn't in Lindenville.
In Medina here, right over where Burns-O-Matic is now. Yeah. Birdseye Snyder wound up there, but there was ahead of that, two companies ahead of that, but I can't tell you which the original one was.
Olney never was over here.
Olney, yeah. Olney?
O-N-L-E-Y?
Mm-hmm.
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 Yeah, where they named the street.
Yeah, that's right, that's right.
And that's the name of the company where you work?
That's where I work,
I see.
Yeah.
Okay.
Then I went over to a toy factory on East Center Street.
Really?
Yeah.
Toy factory before Fisher Price?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Charlie Howard and Albion was him and Dr. Warren Stocken. And Edgar Gould was the head mechanic there, and they had a big setup of toys. But everything was too competitive, and apparently it didn't work out. In other words, the winter that I worked there before Christmas, the fall before, I worked nights making little wooden wheels. They were about 2 inches in diameter and about a hole through them for an axle to go in. And Ed Gould invented the tools to work on a lathe that would automatically do that. He would take a stick of wood of maple, about 32 inches long, and put it in a lathe and just keep turning and turning and cutting the wheels off and getting shorter and shorter until you use up the whole stick.
Hmm.
And I'd earned $5 a night there, make about 5,000 of those, so I've done pretty well on that. Well, then I asked for a raise and didn't get it, so I hired out to Cold Storage, Medina Cold Storage, for a year. It was owned by Charlie Dye and Howard Pettis. That's the storage that is on the south side of the railroad yet. And I worked through that winter and the next spring, and during that time, Rowley Company bought that storage. They had a storage on the north side of the railroad, and of course there was a different foreman and so forth, and they were going to build a cider mill.
Mm.
So we were digging for the foundation of that with a shovel and so forth, which I never did like anyway. And so I'd worked there, I don't know just how long, but anyway, the foreman for the Rowley Company came out and said if they got a chance for another job about Wednesday, why, better take it because he'd have to lay me off on a Saturday. And I said, no, you haven't got to do that. And he said, why? And I said, well, I never liked digging dirt, and I'm all through right now. So I didn't get laid off. I quit.
Warren, was there, did the train stop there at that time?
What do you mean, stop there?
Somewhere along the line, seems like I heard that the train made a stop right there. At the where the coal storage is.
Oh yeah, well that was that's where the senior citizen is, with the passenger station.
It's right there, yeah.
That's the passenger station, and over where the furniture factory or furniture store is, was the freight yard.
That's what I'm thinking.
Mm.
Well, where was this Rowley's that you were working on? Where would that have been?
Well, that was the Dian Pettis coal storage, but they owned one on the north side at that time, and they bought the one on the south side.
Oh, I see.
And then put the cider mill in there.
Mm-hmm.
Then I went to the Niagara Sprayer, as it was known them days, and working in the machine shop. And I worked there from in April sometime until August. Belonged to Company F and went to camp in August. And when I came back, they were shut down, which they did for a month or two in a year. Chemical machine shop, everything shut down. And
excuse me, is Company F the in the Army,
National Guard.
National Guard.
Mm. Okay. I belonged to that for 3 years, from 1919 to 22.
Hmm.
And let's see, while I wasn't working up there, my uncle was putting on the metal ceilings in the old stone schoolhouse, which was moved to build the new schoolhouse there.
Now, where's the old stone schoolhouse?
That burned down here a few years ago.
Is that where you went to school to start with? You mean
yeah,
that's what eventually
that's
became a library? That's what you call the old? Oh, I see.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's the one that burned down.
Yeah, I know. We
they
went
were putting on ceilings in there at that time.
Mm.
And then I worked with him from 1920 through 24. April of 1925, I went down to the town of Greece and worked with my wife's uncle building houses. Mm. I had $500 to start business with, and he may have had more, but that's what he put in too. So we started building houses with a capital of $1,000. And the first house didn't sell too readily. And the fellow by the name of Davenport, owned the Times Union in Rochester, was developing this track where we were building. Mm-hmm. And he gave us four contracts on butt lots, as they were called.
Butt?
Butt lots, B-U-T-T. In other words, they backed up to a corner lot, see, and they called them butt lots, and they were hard to sell. So we built four small two-story houses on these that he gave us for contract. Kind of put us on our feet, and we sold the house we started, and then from there on, well, we got sold before we started to build them. And we're doing all right, but the Depression came along. In other words, we used to get a first mortgage from the Prudential Life Insurance Company, and then there was a second mortgage, which they did down in Rochester. You don't hear too much of it around mm-hmm. here, but down yeah. there, that was the thing to do. Mm-hmm. And the second mortgage was paid off first. But yeah. if for some reason you lost the place, unless if you held the second mortgage, unless you could buy the first mortgage, why, you just lost, that was all. But it did pay off first. And most people at that time figured they got their second mortgage paid off, but that was in pretty good shape, so. And they didn't pay off the first mortgage too readily. So then in January of 1928, we couldn't work at it anymore. I came back to Medina and bought a house with a home bakery in, hoping that we could make a living out of that because carpenter work wasn't good and so couldn't get material too well. So I don't know just how long we run it, but the S.A. Cook factory on East Avenue closed. And I used to open the store at 6 o'clock in the morning, and people would stop for tobacco and so forth and so on. Well, when that closed, the people weren't going by, so that was mm-hmm. out. And then, she did the baking. Mm-hmm. She did the baking.
She was a marvelous cook.
Yeah. Yeah. She learned it herself, I mean. She mm-hmm. Mother worked all the time, and she just mm-hmm. wailed in and bake something, and if it didn't turn out, why, it was too bad, but mm-hmm. nobody just gave her any training. She just done it on her own.
What kind of things did she bake? Cookies, pies, bread?
Cookies, pies, bread. And I rigged up an ordinary hand mixer with a motor. So I would get up about 5 right. o'clock in the morning and mix the bread, and then I would go to work at 8 o'clock in the morning. Come back at night and deliver, and then keep the store open until 9 o'clock at night. So I put in quite long hours there. Finally, I said to her.
Did she have a wood stove to cook in or what?
Coal started originally, but that was in there when we went there. Mm-hmm. Then I replaced it with a double stove, gas stove. So we had two ovens and eight burners on the top. Mm. That's what we, soon after we got there,
You couldn't regulate that like you do the stove today?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
You could?
No. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where was this bakery?
On the corner of East Center and East Avenue.
Here in Medina?
Mm-hmm. Charlie Kuhn owned it ahead of me, and he probably run it for 10 years there ahead of me. I don't know just exactly how. Oh, I thought that was a way
of...
You
ran it as a bakery, you mean?
Yeah,
I see.
Mm-hmm. Well, then we weren't making any money. I guess probably we were our best customers. We ate out of the store and so forth and so on. So I said to the wife one day, well, we're going to starve to death anyway. Let us sit down and do it gracefully. Let's close the store up. So we didn't starve, but it was quite a battle.
How long had you had that now?
I think I ran it about 3 years.
That's a lot of work.
Yeah, that's right. Then I went back to carpentering again. I worked about a year and a half, I guess, with my uncle. And
now, who was your uncle?
John B. Miller. He was supervisor of the town of Ridgeway for 2 terms. And he got so he didn't have to work too much, and he was going to Florida in the wintertime, and then this one summer he had a sister out in South Dakota, so he went out there for the summer. Harry Sherman and I both worked for him, and he said, well, if we've got to dig up our work part of the year, we might as well do it all the time.
Was this carpentry?
Yeah.
Work?
Mm-hmm. So he and I went in partners and worked until, well, during the war we couldn't get material, and I went up to...
What war? First?
Two.
World War Two.
I went up to Harrison's and worked for a year and 8 months because you couldn't get material or do anything with it. And I came back in May of 45. I went there in, just before 1940, the latter part of December 1943, and worked until May of 1945. Mm-hmm. And then I came back and started working again at Carpenter. Mm-hmm. I've worked at it ever since.
Mm-hmm.
While you're on the war there, do you remember seeing any of the prisoners of war working over there?
Oh, yes.
Kynes's,
oh, yes. They built them barracks for them, and there was a lot of them, of course, guarded and so forth.
How many were over there about?
I have no idea.
Those were what Japanese or German?
Italian, a lot
Italian?
Of them.
Germans, mostly were Germans.
Mostly
Germans?
Mostly Germans.
Mm, mostly Germans.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Did any of them stay on, or were they all shipped out? Or what?
I have no idea. No, I don't hardly think so. I don't think so. I don't remember of any of them staying.
Yeah.
In.
How did the town feel about it? I mean, if we tried to do that today, you know,
didn't seem to be any
yeah.
question about it. I mean, it was wartime, and
yeah.
it was the thing to do. I
yeah.
mean, it gave us help in the Heinzes and so forth.
Yeah.
So.
Did they ever have any escapes that you know of?
Hey, I think there was a very few, but very, very few. I don't know whether they recaptured all of them or not. I kind of forgot. But there wasn't anything like it was today. I mean, you weren't scared to go out. They weren't on the street or anything like that. So I don't know how many houses in Medina I have built.
What was the first one? Can you remember?
For myself?
Yeah, or with somebody. Or just name some houses that you that are still standing, maybe. Maybe not even in Medina, just in Orleans County.
Mm. Trying to think of his name. I don't know his name as well. What's these people name across here?
Oh yeah,
name.
Cindy.
Benz,
yeah.
Benz.
Mm-hmm. Well, first house I built on my own, I think, was for Howard Benz.
Mm-hmm.
That would be the father of this boy over here.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. And
where was that?
That was over on... Ensign Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
Ensign Avenue.
Oh.
And then it probably was in 45, and I built one for Robert Neal. He worked with me.
Oh,
yeah. And I built that one on that street.
Meade
Avenue.
Meade. Mm-hmm.
And and another one that I forgot the name we built it for, but Eugene Allbone, I built his house there on the same street.
Oh, I didn't know.
And on Gwynn Street, I built my son's house, one for Eldred Short, where the parsonage is now.
You built the parsonage?
And, Don Canham's house I built.
Oh.
One across the road from Don Cannon would be Earl Foster's.
Foster?
Earl Foster, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I built 4 new houses for him in 6 years. There was something wrong with all of them that he just didn't like, and so he kept on building them.
Really?
Yeah. So I built 4 of them for him in 6 years. Let's see.
Did you do most of this work yourself?
Yeah, well, one time I had 2 men with me all the time. Robert Neal and his father both worked for me at one time. And then Robert went to work for Bramer when he opened up down on East Center Street. And of course I built my own here. And there's another one I didn't mention.
Well, here on Highland Avenue you've seen some changes.
Yeah.
Was this road paved when you moved here?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh yeah, it was. Long before that. This was one of the first cement streets here in Medina, to my knowledge. I built Bill Boyle's house down here
quite
a few years ago, ahead of the time I built here, which was 57. I think that was around 34 that I built that. And I wanted this lot at that time, but Mr. Moco owned it, said he would sell it, but his wife said keep it, maybe the grandchild would want it, and it didn't cost him much to keep it, so. And then she passed away, and he came to me and wanted to know if I still wanted the lot, and I told him I sure did. So then I built it.
You built this in 57,
mm.
And Boyle's in 34.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Van Hungerford's house I built on Howell Parkway. I don't know what year that was either. Bob was working with me at the time. Mm-hmm. And with my uncle, we opened Howell Parkway.
Now, who's your uncle again?
Yeah.
Who is that?
John Miller.
Oh, yeah, okay. You opened Howell Parkway?
Well, that is the first buildings in there. He was the contractor. He built the one. Fred Howell opened Howell Parkway.
Yeah.
And the one on the corner, he built for himself. And then Ernie Reynolds built the next one towards the north.
Hmm.
We built those two in 1921.
Oh my. Oh my gosh. You were a young man too.
Well,
21.
Certainly. I was once young.
You're still young. Oh dear. That does seem awfully young though now, doesn't it?
Yeah.
21.
That's right. Yeah. And I still was working for him and unmarried. And I think in 23 we built the J.C. Possum house.
You built the J.C. Possum house?
Mm, my uncle. No, I was working for my uncle, see. And he built the J.C. Possum house. And then a couple of years after that, we built the one where Corliss lives.
Mm-hmm.
Built it for...
That's on the corner of West Avenue, West Center and... yeah. Yes. Yeah.
That probably cost $40,000 at the time that was built. And then the Depression came and so forth, and the people that owned it lost their money. And Dr. Corliss bought it for $7,000.
Wow.
Believe it or not, Tommy Robbins' father had it originally built. You know Tommy Robbins?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Red Cheeks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Warren, you spoke about you're getting married. Where did you meet Grace?
The year that I worked at the Cannon Factory, she was working there. That's where I met her.
Uh-huh. What was her name, Grace?
Potter, Grace Potter.
Grace Potter. Her home was in Medina?
She was born in Medina. They originally came from Clarence.
Her folks.
Her folks originally, but they came to Medina, and she was born here in 1900.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then her grandfather died, mm-hmm. and the family went back to Clarendon and worked on a farm until 1913.
Mm-hmm.
Then they returned here, and the rest of the children were born in Clarendon or Medina, one or the other. She was born, the first one was born in 1900 here.
So you met her in the canning factory, and
right.
then what? And then what? Come on.
Well, she was quite bashful, and I guess I was a little forward. I'm not sure what I think it was. So I used to flirt with her a little bit going by and so forth. Uh-huh. So we got a date, and our first date was in a roller skating rink over on Ensign Avenue.
Yeah. In Medina?
Yeah,
I didn't know
where Taylor Furniture Factory was on Ensign Avenue.
Yes.
And, well, that was originally was a skating rink.
Oh, I see.
Very prominent thing. That was our first date. Went over there.
Uh-huh. Now, when were you married?
July 8th, 1924.
Down boy. 1924. Now, was this a church wedding or home? Or
no,
what?
I was married at her. They lived, folks didn't own the place, but they lived across from Moco's in that little red house is now. So we had a double wedding. The next younger girl, her name was Minnie.
Her sister.
Yeah. And her husband was John Wilson. And we had a double wedding there at the house.
That was quite common in that area, wasn't it?
Yeah.
To get married at home.
Yeah, my daughter Betty got married at home, too.
Your daughter Betty.
Mm-hmm. And so I was working at carpenter work and knew Mr. O'Donnell run the lumber yard very well. And I got a big canvas from there and put up a place so we had a caterer to prepare the food. And there was such a large family of them that just the uncles and aunts on my wife's side came because there would have been too many to take care of with her cousins and so
forth. You had it outdoors.
Yeah, well, we had the wedding inside and then I had this up against the house. Oh, no, don't tell me that. Not that. I couldn't tell you.
But I mean, it wasn't a white gown with the flowing train and all that kind of thing?
Yeah, I think it had a train in it. But we didn't go down an aisle and so forth. We were just there in the sitting room.
Yes.
A Baptist minister by the name of Allen married us.
Oh, did he marry you? Yeah.
And she and her sister went to the Baptist church, never belonged to it, but in younger days went to the Baptist church.
Mm-hmm.
So, Reverend Allen married
us. Now, you have, how many children did you have?
Two. Son and daughter.
Pete is really Bernard, right?
That's right.
Bernard.
But
is Bernard the oldest?
Yeah. 16 months apart is all.
Yeah, and your daughter's name is?
Betty.
Betty.
Warren. That's confusing. It's spelled the same as mine.
Her married name is Warren.
Right.
Betty. Okay.
Mm-hmm. I don't know just how the boy got the name of Pete, but it was in real young school days that it, and he's always been known by that, I mean, most people know him by that.
Yeah.
Most of them don't know him the other way.
Yeah.
Huh.
Well.
Yeah, and he was 18, June 20th, and October he was on the way overseas. He was inducted into the Army, and in October he came home. He never even had a furlough. He came home and stayed two nights and one day. And he told me that he was on his way over, but didn't tell his mother that. He went from here to Washington, the state of Washington, from there to Hawaii, and up the Pacific, all the way through over.
What branch of the service did he
have?
Marines?
Anti-aircraft.
Anti-aircraft.
Oh. So
the,
he could
Army?
Go.
The Army?
No, he could
Navy?
Go with any of them. Army, Navy, anyone.
Oh.
He did serve in the Army. He also served in the Navy. And he was on boat one time, and his buddy was up on, and he got killed up there. He was supposed to go up on the next turn, so he came home without any scars, whatever, which was very fortunate.
What about your automobiles? Do you remember, remember, Warren, the first time you saw an automobile?
Yeah. That's going to be back in 1904, I think. My father worked for this farmer. His name was Porter Stockin down on Lee Street. I was 4 years old.
Yeah.
Now, is that the same Mr. Stocking that Was with Charlie Howard in Gould?
No. That was related, but distant relation.
Okay.
It wasn't even an uncle. He wasn't.
Okay.
It was a different family. And they were going to take us for a ride on a Sunday. And of course, it was cranked, and it was in the car in the garage. And he cranked it, and it was in gear.
Oh!
It started and squeezed him up in between tubophores, the thickness of tubophores. Of course, my father and I was there, but we didn't know anything about an automobile, you know. And
oh, my.
Finally, it stalled, so it didn't hurt him, but he was kind of a thin man, a good thing that he was.
Yeah.
That was my first experience with automobiles. Then the mailman, he had one, a little brush it was.
Brush?
Was it? Brush automobile, yeah. Brush.
B-R-U-S-H?
Uh-huh. And it had a little one seat on the back end with no top over it. And then there was two seats in the, or place for two people in the front of the thing.
Okay.
He delivered mail.
Okay.
His name was Lyman Potter from Noseville.
Any relation to your wife?
No. And then in 1913, my parents got a Model T. When I was 13 years old, it was a 1910 Model T. And I don't know whether I should tell this or not.
They let you drive it?
Well, a lady or couple invited us out to dinner, and Father said, well, all she wants is a ride. They had a daughter my age, and my older sister was keeping company with a boy for her husband she married, Boyd Pask. And Father said, well, why don't you take the car and go for a ride, and we'll have to sit the home. So I did. And the fan belt came off, and it got so hot it wouldn't run. I discovered what that was. And I came home on two rims. We had to hitch up horse next morning and go get more tires.
Oh, dear.
But my father let me do things. I was... Got to give him credit for that, with horses or automobiles or anything else. And that's why I didn't like to stay with my grandmother, because I was used to doing things.
Education,
in other words. I had a bicycle, and if I didn't repair it, I didn't have a ride.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a good education on a farm. It was a good place to give you an idea of what you could do and so forth and so on. He was very good at it.
When did you get your own car?
I wanted to buy a motorcycle in 1916. I would be 16 years old. And my folks were pretty much against it. And they said, well, if you want to spend some money, why don't you go in with us and we'll get a new Model T.
Mm.
So we did, a 1916 Model T.
Yeah.
And I was in partnership with them until 1922. Then I got a Model T coupe. And then 1924, when I got married, we were going on a trip in the cars, and I wanted a sedan so we could sleep in the car. We used to make a bed on the two seats in the car. So I traded it for a 1921. I went downhill that time. And I had that until 1926. I was down in town of Greece and bought a new Nash Light 6 automobile.
Hmm.
Then I drove that for 40,000 miles and junked it. Then let's see what.
How much was gasoline a gallon then?
Well, when I first started driving, it was about 12 cents a gallon, 2 gallons for a quarter. So you could go out and have a pretty good time on a dollar.
Yes.
Which was about all the money we had usually. Yeah, and then let's see, I had a 1930 Model A, then I got 1935 Chevrolet, and I had that for 14 years because you couldn't buy one during the war years, you know. The son came home. He didn't have a license before because we were gas rationed and so forth. So So he came home and he started driving at nights and I drove at daytimes. And finally I said, I don't think it's going to stand up. You better get one for yourself. So I got a new one in 1949. So I've driven Chevrolets ever since 1935 up until today.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Warren, you've always been active in the church. Have you always been a Methodist?
Yes. I belong to Millville. And my wife never... We joined in 49, the children here in Medina. Mm-hmm. Children, Grace, and I transferred here from Millville. Mm-hmm. So we've been active ever since. Mm-hmm.
Do you have any memories of the mill race that went along South Main Street?
Yes. When we first came to Medina, it was an open ditch on South Main Street.
Came empty, through, you mean?
Huh?
Was it empty?
No, no.
No?
It was still in operation, water running through it.
Yeah.
And then it came in front of the cold storage there and was covered with plank, and in front of the City Hall was covered with plank. There at the City Hall, it crossed Main Street and supplied that mill, and then it went down to East Center Street, and there was another mill down on East Center Street, and that's the water supply they got from there. But I can remember the open ditch when we first came here.
Do you remember any bridges over it? Or?
Well, most every house had to have a narrow bridge to get across it from the street to the to their own home. I mean, just a narrow bridge, and of course they didn't, you know, horse days, but very few of them in the village had horses at that time, so.
Were the bridges painted red? Do you remember?
Yeah, I know, but no. But I can remember the open ditch and the planked in front of the City Hall and where it crossed.
Wasn't it sort of a hazard for little kids? Did they fall in?
I guess not. They grew up with it, and there it was. Yeah, I mean, if you grow up with something, it isn't a hazard, really.
Well, you probably remember the dam then and on the south side of Maple Ridge Road.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
The little mill pond back there.
Yeah, they had an ice house there. That was a big business then.
Yeah.
And they cut ice in the wintertime and put it in there in probably 300-pound blocks. And they buried it in sawdust. Sawdust, blow it, and lay a layer of these blocks in and sawdust on top of it. And that was a business here, I mean, delivering ice in the summertime.